Last week in the second service, I talked about the Bible. How do we study the Bible? Today? So today we learn about how do we have view the Bible with a right attitude? We must know in many areas we are denying the words of the Bible. Because we use our own understanding and apply the Bible. So let's look at the authority of the Bible in a few areas. So there is, first thing, let's look at the peculiarity of the Bible bearing witness to itself. So, Matthew 21, verse 1 to 5. There's a passage. So this is an instance where Jesus intervened to fulfill the prophecy of the scripture. The things that he did, Jesus, some things happened so that it fulfilled the prophecy of the Bible. Here it's very clear he personally intervened to fulfill this. So let's read Matthew 21, verse 1 to 5. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring to me." Only Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Especially, he said, this is... And if anyone, verse 3, if anyone says anything to you, shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey, a young of a donkey." So it has never been ridden before. So it's very intentional to fulfill the words of the fulfill the prophecy of the Bible. Of course, there are many different verses. Here we see. So here we saw that Jesus actually knew about the Old Testament prophecy. Because nobody can, even Jesus actually had to obey the authority of the Bible. Zechariah. In the whole Old Testament, it is the arrival of the Messiah, the Son of Man, and the son of David to welcome the king. So it talks about how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Okay, here we saw that Jesus himself confesses the Bible is true. He caught them. When Jesus came, he also recognized the authority of the Bible. This is an amazing thing. He said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Just now we read in the responsive reading, even the heavens and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain. All of this has to be understood correctly. And then the third point is that God, Jesus himself is the Word of God incarnate. So, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth, grace and truth. So it's not a very strange thing. But actually, the Son of God, and he is the fulfillment of all of God's words. It's all the whole Bible testify for Jesus. And then Jesus is the Word. And then, of course, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Very amazingly, when we talk about Bible, the Word of God, it all points to Jesus. Even all the laws, the prophets, the mysteries of all these things has been unraveled because of the coming of Christ, his death and resurrection. The Old Testament, actually the New Testament, the New Testament is all meant to explain the Old Testament, because when the death and resurrection actually is a key to unlock all the prophecies in the Old Testament, and all the prophecies has been fulfilled with the coming of Christ, and all the laws have been fulfilled, and he's the sinless, and he has without sin, and he has totally obeyed the law, and he. So when the righteousness of God is imputed to us, that's because of Christ's righteousness. So this Bible has an amazing authority. This is what we believers must understand. We should accord the equal honor to the scripture as we give to God. So let's read John chapter 8, verse 14. Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I'm going." Jesus himself, he does not need the testimony of others, because he's different. He's above all things. He's not one of the... He came in flesh. After the Word became flesh, he became human. but he is also have a divine nature. At this time, we should not look down on him because he is a human at that point. Because even though nobody witnessed for him, because he know where he came from and where he's going, he belongs to God. But you do know where I come from and where I am going. Even though if you don't know where I'm coming from and where I'm going, my witness is still true. We can see here, Jesus himself, he does not need other testimony because his authority is above all. Here we can see that we can have this application if the Bible, if the there's no authority besides the authority of God. If God has given authority to someone, something, there surely there's authority. The Bible is it is inspired God breath. It does not come from human will, but it's written of God's will. Whether humans believe or not, the authority of the scripture is there. So our this is really the background and the context I want to give to everyone to establish the authority of the scripture. Humans, when they want to say something, sometimes when somebody says something, you may think you are saying this because you have an agenda. Okay. When you say something, everyone, they will have doubts. When you say something, people, it's not just that they don't trust you. Because this is a fact. Everyone who says things, they say things for a particular reason. Sometimes of these reasons mean me, but God is not like that. So when we treat the word of God, we need to receive it. We must view it correctly. So prophets came, the Bible came from the prophets. So the Bible also reveals certain things. So there's also the true prophets and the false prophets. So how do we discern between the false prophets? When we receive the word of God, of course the word of God is inspired. But when you receive it, we receive it with our own interpretation. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, there is no lack of false prophets. False prophets is always trying to meet the needs of people, trying to accommodate people's desires, their needs. In human needs, is it their need or is it their greed? So as a prophet, if you want to, you want to win over people, if you just want to win over people, you will speak falsehood. We know that there's such things. Based on our nature, it's not easy for us to discern who is a false prophet. It's not easy to discern false prophets. Then Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 to 14, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to a covetousness, and from the prophets, even to the priests, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. No Testament, the New Testament. Oh, false prophets. A mark of them is that they always bring good news. They comfort them. They bring about a slight healing. And then they feel very good in their hearts. It is very hard to discern. Because, of course, the Bible is given by God to give us blessing, to give us healing. Sometimes, if I receive some healing, if I'm receiving it from the real, is it from the false prophet or the true prophets? Sometimes it may sound right. Sometimes we have a peace and contentment, but sometimes you may be just gratifying your desires. You can find some excuses so that you can compromise and you can and sometimes it's giving us more excuses to deny God. How do we know? We think about this. How do we find God's grace? So we always like something very... There's some grace. We all like God's grace, something relevant to us. When we are still sinners. And of course, God loves us when we're still sinners. But we must know this thing. This is because we are weak. When we are weak, God used love to accept us so that we can draw near to God, so that we can know Him. And because we know that we all like, sometimes when I speak to my wife, when I speak to her too directly, she may not like it. You see, you're just, you belittle me because to defend yourself. I'm just speaking the truth. Sometimes, maybe she's right. So sometimes sisters are a bit weaker. What I'm trying to say is, when I bring this up is because when we talk about truth, when we speak the truth, it may sound like it's out of a certain agenda and to gain or benefit something. So when the word of God is more offensive, it's very difficult for us. We may not deny it, but we cannot understand. We don't understand just with our mind, but also in our hearts. So we all will struggle with these things. Let me say this. When our faith is stronger, we won't realize. We can rely on our own feelings to understand God's word. First, you must know false prophets and true prophets. When we know about God's grace, as we grow, we will realize we need to know God more and his nature, his character. Because God is reliable, is true. So sometimes, for example, last time we may not be able to understand God's predestination or God's judgment. We may wonder, you know, isn't God love? We may not be, or sometimes we accept it, but we do not accept it fully. We cannot wholeheartedly rely on God. Actually, we are fallen in all these things. All these are very, very hard, some hard teachings. If man cannot choose God, but because God has chosen man, why is the sin still on sin? Why is the sin still on man? Since God is the one who chose. All these are very important teachings. This is all taught in the Bible. When we So it's been fulfilled. So what is the Bible actually emphasizing? What is God trying to emphasize here? Do we intervene to fulfill the scripture, or it is supposed to be fulfilled? So our hearts and mind, our hearts should turn to God. Something we need to understand more is that why God, in some of the hard teachings, when we talk about, they talk about the authority of God, supreme authority, and His love is also set apart, is consecrated. We must know that we cannot use casually and use our own ideas to consider what is love and what is grace. So when things are going well in family and work, we immediately remember this is God's grace. Because God's, if you go back, all good things come from God. But so maybe there are certain interventions of God so that we can be sanctified. There are also some interventions for us to understand the Word of God. Think about it. Isn't it say God is love? First John, didn't it say God is love? Because God is love, if you cannot, when we talk about God is love, it's telling us to love. So if you cannot even love your brother who you can see, how do you love God who you cannot see? When God says His love, He wants us to love. It's not just a warm fuzzy feeling to give us. Can we love? When we see people who are unlovable, can we love? How do we love? Here it talks about a power. We need a power, we need a strength. If you just want a very, just a feeling, and a comfort coming to us, is this strong or weak? at first you'll be strengthened. When you rely on this, it doesn't go into your heart. You are just using the surface to rely. You want to get used to feeling this love, because the more you understand, you will not, you'll grow and you'll be weaker, because you just want to hear a word of comfort. You do not become stronger from there. If you want to be strengthened, the Bible tells us you must eat the word of God. Even the harder teaching, you need to receive it. It becomes part of you. If you want to love others, we must restore that. Indeed, God's love is in me. God, you be holy because I'm holy. God is ready with me. So from here, you confirm. Don't think about other things. I need to focus on God. God is with me. I rely on Him. Nothing else. When you become more single-hearted into God, and when you have this strength can come upon you. Don't rely on the superficial power, but really the power that rests in you, not the power. Here it says, the way to be strong in Christ is to know the strength of the Lord intimately. You must intimately know the strength of the Lord. Why do we need to establish a relationship with God? Is it a friend relationship? So when we know them intimately, it's not just I have one fuzzy feeling. Know Him. How noble is God? How great is God? So when you know it, how can you remain weak? How can you compromise? I know it's not easy. I'm trying to say this. When we know God in our heart, God is sovereign in all things. But why do we keep reading Acts? Because there's persecution. Why did God allow persecution to come upon His people? So let's look at the next point. If there's no persecution, the confirmation of the word would not have been so complete without persecution. Let's try to understand this. So from Luke chapter 21, verse 12. So this is, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and my rulers for my name's sake. It tells us one thing, that our faith will be tested. There will be trials and tribulations. There will be suffering, persecution. So some of us are afraid of all this. There's another temptation to I want to obey. I don't want to be too afraid. I don't want to. Do you not understand this? to rely on God. In the grace of God, in the truth of God, in this is where our faith will be tested. Faith comes from hearing the word. So when the faith is to be tested, it is really to test the word that you have heard. Is this word, is it really anchored in your life? It cannot be shaken. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be taken away, and you will not waver. When you have these trials and sufferings come, so when we say the truth, sometimes people will think that you are coming with your own agenda. You are just trying to, you are trying to take away other people's rights. When we try to evangelize, you ask people to repent, confess your sins, and a lot of people hear this, they are uncomfortable. Are you saying I have a lot of problems? Even though you are telling the truth, people will think that you are just trying to demean him, or just trying to say that you are better than him. It's something very strange. But the thing is, have you thought about this? When we say such things, the man's the dignity. Because a man's glory is diminished because of their sin, the dignity and glory of a person is diminished because of their sin. Because actually, when we say this, we really want to lift them up. We really need the salvation of God. It's actually we want to restore the dignity that he deserved, because he's created in the image of God. But he's fallen. To the sinner, they sounded like they are being looked down upon. But actually, we are helping them so that we can lift them up. The sinner, those who did not, they will all receive the same punishment. Sometimes, after you have said things, because people hate you, so the fact that you try to share the gospel but you receive more persecution, sometimes it feels unfair. It's not so easy. Why did God allow? So that, we can bear the cross, so we can understand the way of the cross, and we can carry our own cross. So that we can be more and more like Christ. What God wants to do, it has to come to all God wants to do. Yeah. So sometimes we have certain grievances. When we learn this lesson, why must there be persecution? Can you think about it? It's to confirm the word, how the word is complete. Because God is persecution. There's something, the trials will teach us to rely on God, and we know our helplessness. and then we are provoked to that, then we provoke our reliance on God. Actually, I am to make known that I am made of flesh and I'm limited. And then I'll keep praying. This is the reason for trials. If not in our nature, we will not just, if not in our human nature, we will not seek Him. We will all be obeying God in our own standard, just be more humble than the other person. We will not truly come before God. So only in trials then we know that there's a lot of things that we need to learn. But why we need to talk about persecution? When we look at Acts, Stephen is going to be persecuted. At the end of chapter 7, he will be stoned. When chapter 8, because of and then we'll see the word being spread throughout. All the disciples, the apostles are scattered, and that's how the gospel is spread. So when persecution comes, believers have to pray. It is in those instances they have no choice but to ask God for the words to. Is it because when they scold you, then you scold them back? You need to, when people scold you, you need to be respectful. You need to give the reason. You must go back to the Bible. When the slander from man comes, then all the more we need to learn the gospel, the word of God. The persecution is to warn. All nations will persecute you. Because all nations persecute Jesus, if you are His people, you will be persecuted as well. It is a warning for us. The persecution we encounter today is to prepare us that there will be greater persecution. So in all this difficult situation, we will not lose our faith, our ends. We will not be. It's to foretell up, and then we start to pray, and we start to be, to desire to equip ourselves in the Word, desire to know God more. Of course, this is something difficult. Gospel is supposed to bring blessings to people. Why do we feel there's a persecution? Because but God has already said all this, so to prepare us, so that we focus on His word and focus on how we can testify for Him. When we have persecution, then we can receive. We can really deep dive into God's word and think, very meditate on His word. So when you try to invite a person to church, they will always How do you tell him? You need to, how do you force him? How do you comfort him? How do you encourage him? Can you just ask the pastor to, you'll force you to go and think about it and think through and pray through. Even if you say a lot of things and then you have to go back to the word to gain wisdom. So we must understand this is the imprint of the gospel in our hearts. In this situation, we keep thinking, you know, how does the word of God, so let's read Luke 21, verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. God, of course, wants to assure us through His words. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to understand the word. The preaching of the word so that it can be. Our problem is actually we have not been convicted enough. I don't know how to. I keep telling myself is, I do not love God enough. There must be some mysteries so that I can know Him. When I'm being challenged, well, I must thank God. This, I know this is a problem. When we, it's just not head knowledge, when we want to, our heart, we must have this fervor in our hearts. So you see how when Stephen was sharing, well, how fervent he was, that he was, he had a face like an angel. So so you also be very considerate in your words. You know what to say, what not to say later. But your zeal, you still speak the truth. But it's not without self-control. It is to help and teach others. We must. Some people will say, it's very difficult. When God wants to save people, it's because it's, God has predestined. If I keep sharing the gospel and God didn't elect, is that... But God needs to choose him. If man can choose, then isn't that wonderful? If man choose, God choose. God predestined some to heaven and some predestined some to hell. Then we share the gospel, it'll be very tiring for us. If you share the gospel, if people reject you, if he hates it that you share the gospel and he's hurt and he doesn't, it's better than they have no reaction to it. Sometimes when we accept the difficult teachings of the word we can see. We can break through their hardness. If we can struggle, those who give you shouldn't they feel the same offense and the persecution? I'm not going out to purposely offend people, but when we know God, when we have a deeper understanding, why? No, so why is it that? Because you believe. If you are stuck, that means there are some areas where you do not know God's word enough. You have not turned your hearts towards God. We did not give it sufficient authority. So it's scripture is therefore for subduing the rebellion of the flesh, so that they can submit to God's will. We need the fervor for God, yielding to the authority of the scripture. It's what we want. What do we pursue? When we see we cannot receive. When we go and study. It comes from God. So, you are restoring your strength. You find the joy. You must love the Word of God. So you ask for it. You ask for the faith. You ask for the grace to love the Word of God. How do you enjoy the Word of enjoy studying the Bible? So that is it for debate of others. We know it's not the right thing. The reformers in the Reformation, when they want to preserve the Word of God, they have this fervor. They want to love. So they want to love the Lord until their heart is burning fire. This is the fervor. The flame. So Paul told Timothy, you must fan the flame. So that we will be burning with this fervor. Why did Jesus he gave an example. No one can boast. So So Jesus is teaching us to submit, to love His word. We need the full counsel of God's word. We need to know what is it saying. How do we differentiate between false prophets and true prophets? How do we overcome the situation in this current reality, in the modern world? The authority. It has the authority. It has the full authority. If there are some scriptures, scriptural passage that makes us uncomfortable, some are uncomfortable because we don't understand, don't just turn away from it. The more difficult teachings are actually the most important one in that area. You think you can obey, but actually those that you cannot feel uncomfortable is actually God speaking to you. You must make a mark. One day, until you understand, when your heart's turned to it, that you have no repent. Then you have this willingness. After you have understood, then you must do. That's where you have a transformation of your heart. It's not done by us, it's really God's work. But we must put in our prayers and we must pursue this. We have a lot of excuses. I'm really very tired after so many services. I'm still praying. We give ourselves a lot of excuses. You see, the how they are so in the examples in the Bible, how they have the strength, receive strength from the Lord and continue even though they have a lot of struggles and fatigue. The last point, I want to encourage everyone to devote yourself to the study of the scripture. Romans 15 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." In the scripture, we must be patient. Don't be quick. We must develop this patience. Things that you understand quickly may not. What is difficult to understand, you must learn. There will be great benefit for you. Some people are fast, some people are slow. First Peter chapter 2 verse 2, "As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So it talks about the word of God. So we see that Hebrews, when we talk about milk, it talks about babies, newborn. Here it talks about milk. It's a spiritual milk. When we are born again, we are just like newborn babies. We need to drink milk, this spiritual milk. When we go back to the Bible, when we receive this, every time we receive this, it's a fresh and continue to nourish us, to help us to grow, so that we can look at the appreciate the joy of the salvation. So God, may God help us to grow, how to see how beautiful this new life is. So don't just know Acts. Of course, now many people are studying the book of Acts, but the whole Bible. So let's not too hasty, but really study the word patiently. How much time do you use to study the Bible? Of course, there are times where we read it quickly. What I'm trying to say is, what's our attitude? Of course, we have sometimes we don't have enough time, we are busy. When we study, it's not just academically knowing them, but we need to use our prayer and know it's not for understand the culture of those days. How did the people, what God is speaking to the people of those times, and how the message they receive, how this message can also be applicable to my life. So the word, so we see how the Word of God can convict us. So as we recognize the authority of the Bible, and we can see the richness of the content in the Bible, let's pray. Lord, we pray today through the Word of God. Pray that not just help us to understand how great the Word is, but help us to understand that we ought to learn more of your word, and we want to rely. When we talk to people, we can use the word of God, and let your word provoke us. Lord, give us this perspective. To God, help us so that we can, and grace will come upon us in our families. So we want to love you, Lord. We want to, your word will not come back empty. You'll be fulfilled. You will surely fulfill your words. May your sovereign will be done, and give us the strength and the comfort we need. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.